الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد، today inshallah, with respect to the series of sicknesses of the heart and their cures, we come to the closure. And I want to end with reminding myself and you about the importance of istiqamat, about the importance of steadfastness and staying on the track. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us to ask for the path. He did not teach us to ask for the destination. In other places, of course, there are du'as for the destination, for Jannah, inshaAllah. We ask Allah for that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Fatiha taught us to ask for the path. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. And that path also very clearly siratal ladina an'amta alayhim, the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, the key therefore is to understand that success comes from sticking to the path. Not in simply talking about a glorious destination, but not doing anything to get to that destination. Sticking to the path is absolutely critical if you want to get to the destination. To give you an example, if I say that I want to become a billionaire in 10 years from now, then the only way that I have a chance of hitting that $1 billion target is to work backwards and say, how much money must I earn every month, month on month, for the next 10 years in order to become a billionaire? And then I have to do what it takes to earn that income. That's the only way that I have a chance, a fighting chance of becoming a billionaire in 10 years. If I just keep saying I want to be a billionaire and I do nothing about it and I don't stick to that, maybe I indulge in some sporadic activity. So as I was saying, if I just indulge in sporadic activity, maybe a lot of high energy activity, I work very hard and so on for a while and then I give up or I relax and I lose time, then the chances of ever hitting that $1 billion target will not even be there, because there is no consistent work. The secret of success is to stick to the right path, to be on the right path, to get onto the right path and stick to it consistently over time. That is the key. Without that, there is no hope of success. There is a famous story in the seerah of Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. He came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day and he mentioned two people. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, both of them became Muslims on the same day. And then he said, one of them died shaheed fi sabilillah in a sariya in jihad. And the second person died 1 year, 12 months later, of natural causes. And Abu Talha said, but I saw the one who died of natural causes entering Jannah before the one who passed off as a shaheed in the path of Allah. And he said, I found that very surprising. So, what is this dream? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, why are you surprised? Because the person who died 12 months later had 12 additional months in order to do his ibadah consistently, in order to do the good deeds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enabled him to do. He had one more Ramadan, he had one more Laylatul Qadr, and so on and so forth. So therefore, that person, in terms of accumulation of good deeds, in terms of entering Jannah, probably has a chance of doing that much faster than somebody else. Now, this does not mean that the one who died fi sabilillah, there was anything wrong with that. That's not the meaning of this. This illustrates the importance of consistent action. Similarly, another story from the seerah of the lady, a friend of Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, who was with her when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the house, and Sayyidah Aisha introduced her friend and she said that this person engages in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a great part of the night every night. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her, tell her that even if she does less of that, that is all right as long as she does it consistently. So let her not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all night, one night, and then after that give it up. Rather do something, but do it consistently, even if it is less. The benefit of consistent worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or consistently doing good deeds regularly without fail, is that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that when a slave of mine who worships me, who does ibadah consistently, if he is unable to perform that ibadah, if he is unable to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to illness, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders the recording angels to still write those good deeds in his or her account, because the person was not able to do that act of worship only because he got sick. The malaika, the recording angels, performing their duty before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they say, Ya Rabbul Alameen, you are asking us to write a tahajjud when this person did not pray tahajjud. And Nabi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the angels, he did not pray tahajjud because I gave him that illness. If I had not given him that illness, he would have prayed, and therefore continue to write tahajjud in his account until he becomes well, or until he dies, or whichever it is. So therefore this ibadah is consistently written in the account of that person day after day after day, even though he did not perform that ibadah, because he used to do that consistently when he was alive and when he was healthy. So this is the beauty and the benefit of doing good deeds consistently. So whether it is salah, whether it is dhikr, whether it is charity, whether it is teaching and learning, whatever it is, there is a great deal of barakah, there is a great deal of benefit, there is a high level of productivity in doing things consistently, not sporadically. And that's very important. That's very important to remember. We have been talking all these many days about different cure, different sicknesses of the heart, and talking on each day, I try to also mention something about what I call the cure for that particular sickness. The important thing to understand is that none of these are magical. None of these are instantaneous. It's not that you have been indulging in pride and kibr and arrogance. You give advice to people, but effectively it's not advice, it is compulsion. You say something to somebody, you are such and such, and your expectation is that person must absolutely accept your assessment of him. And if he does not do that, then you say you are arrogant and you are this and that. So you have now compounded your kibr with bad manners and a lack of understanding about how to address other people and so on. And then now, of course, inshallah, hopefully you understand the evil of this thing and you want to change. Now, is that change going to happen instantly? It is not. It's going to take time. It's going to take a lot of pain, depending on how many years you have been living in this state of ignorance. And therefore, it is important to stick with the cure. It's important to stay on the path and to continue on this path no matter how painful it is, and to ensure that you continue on this path until you get over that sickness. And again, also to remember that getting over the sickness of the heart is not an arrived state. It is always a temporary state. The heart is always prone to falling back into its old ways, no matter how many times you try. The only person who's successful is the person who died on iman, who died with good deeds, who died with his sins forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As long as the person is alive, the person cannot consider himself or herself to be successful. We don't know that. Success is only when you cross the final line. The success comes only at the end of the race. During the race, no one is successful and no one has failed. Both ways. You can't say you are a failure. You cannot say I am successful. We don't know. We are still in the race. We are still running. It's only when we cross the ribbon, then we will know whether we were successful or not. Did we complete the race? Were we first? Were we among the first? Were we among the last? But even if you are among the last, even if you are the last person to complete the race, at least you completed it. You ran that marathon. You ran those 21 miles or whatever it was. And that is the key thing to understand. Put one foot before the other and keep walking, keep walking, keep running, so that you stay on the path. The path is illuminated. The path brings illumination with itself. The one who leaves the path goes back into darkness. And that's the reason why it's very important to ensure that we never leave the path. We always stay on the path, and we stay on the path consistently. Now, for this reason, it's also very important for us to make a timetable of what we need to do on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, and on an annual basis. Just talking about actions of ibadah. For example, on a daily basis, make this niyah that the men will pray five salah by jama'ah in the masjid. All five of them. If you can't do five, do four. If you can't do four, do three, and so on. But ensure that you do, you make the niyah for five and you make the effort to pray all the five salawat by jama'ah in the masjid. Or to the extent possible. The basic principle of the Sharia that if you cannot do something fully, don't leave it fully either. So do as much as you can do, but make a niyah to do, to make and make a niyah for perfection, inshallah. So five salah in the masjid, inshallah. Then make a niyah to pray at least two rakat of tahajjud. All it requires is to wake up half an hour before the time of Fajr begins. That's more than enough for us to pray two rakat of tahajjud. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the tawfiq, and if we get the sweetness of tahajjud, then we pray more, because that's time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the first heaven in a way that is in keeping with His majesty and grace, and asks, who is there who needs my help, who is there who wants my protection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these questions which Allah asks are rhetorical questions. These are questions to enable us to ask Him. It's not that He doesn't know. He's not asking for information. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking as if opening a door to His treasures. And those who ask and those who respond are the ones who get those treasures. So let us ensure that we are not sleeping at that time, that when the announcement is made, that we say, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, and we are here, Ya Rabbal Alameen, and we need You, and we need Your help, and we need the wealth of Your treasures, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this, inshallah. So make the niyah that you will pray tahajjud every single day in your life, starting today until the last day of your life. And as I said, even if it may Allah give you the best of health to the last of your days, but even if for whatever reason you are ill or whatever it is, you are not able to pay tahajjud, inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to order the recording angels to continue to write that tahajjud in your account, even though you haven't prayed it. Similarly, make the niyah to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, we will do a series on the sunnah, but just now, make the niyah to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do not try to differentiate between a big sunnah and a small sunnah. These are evil differences that we have created from ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not call anything of His Nabi as small and big. This Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to follow the entire life of His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to do everything that the way He did it. So let's make the niyyah that we will follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every single aspect of our lives as much as we can. So whatever it is, ensure that we eat like Him, drink like Him, sleep like Him, talk like Him, our dealings are like He used to deal with people, and so on and so forth. So let's make this niyyah that we will follow the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which also means praying the sunnah after the fard salawat, which also means the Azkar Mu'akkada after every fard salah, not immediately stand up and start praying sunnah, not immediately start making dua, but make the Azkar first and then make the dua, inshallah. The dua is much more acceptable when it is done after and in accordance with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is the second. But then try to read some Quran every day. Maybe one page, maybe one page is 13 lines or 15 lines, depending on the on the script that you are using. And inshallah, try to read one juz every day if possible. One sipara, one juz of the Quran every day. But even if you cannot read that, read at least one page. And inshallah, as you read more and more, you will become proficient, and you will be able to read more. If you don't know tajweed, then learn tajweed, inshallah. Make this also a niyyah that you will learn tajweed, because there is no concept of reading the Quran incorrectly. People say, you must read Quran according to tajweed. Of course, that there is no other way of reading Quran. The Quran must be read according to the usul of reading of the Quran. If somebody is reading the Quran in a way which is breaking the usul of reading of the Quran, then the person is committing a sin. So let us not do that. So let us make a niyyah to learn tajweed, and let us continue to read and make effort. The one who makes effort to read, gets twice the reward, the reward for the effort and the reward for reading. So even if you don't know how to read it, ensure that you make the effort and read it. Read it in Arabic. The Arabic is the language of the Quran. It's not English or Urdu or something. The Arabic, the Mus'haf is the Arabic Quran. Read the Arabic. Learn to read the Arabic. English is not our mother tongue, but we learned to speak it and to read it. Similarly, let us learn to speak and read Arabic, so that it's the language of the Quran, the language of the Kalam of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. It is the language of His Habib Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So let us develop love for the Arabic language and let's learn to read it as proficiently as we can. So read Quran every day, Tahajjud every day, Quran every day. The Salah by Jama'ah in the Masjid for the men, and of course the Salah at its correct time for the women, not postponing it because you are in some mall and shopping or whatever it was. Ensure that you pray, and you pray in time. And let's not make excuses to say, oh, but you see, there are no masajid in the shopping malls in my country. If there is no masjid in the shopping mall in your country, then don't go shopping at the time of Salah. Simple as that. The Salah supersedes shopping or whatever else you're doing. There are no excuses for this. So let's make sure that we pray on time. That comes to the issue of daily. Then in the evening, before you go to sleep, read Surah Al-Mulk, read Surah Al-Sajda, because this was a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Read Surah Al-Waqi'ah, because the Surah Al-Waqi'ah is protection from poverty, as Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us. Ensure that you do the adhkar of the morning when you wake up, adhkar of the evening, when you go to sleep. So inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection is always on us. For the week, let us try make the niyyah to fast on Mondays and Thursdays, as was the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. See the barakah of that. If we fast Mondays and Thursdays every week, then in a year we would have done 104 fasts. So that is just like that, just 104 days. If you decide to fast 104 days, I don't know how many of us would be able to complete that. Even if we did it, we would do it, you know, once in our life. But if you just fast Mondays and Thursdays, we would be doing 104 days of fasting every year of our life. So let's make this niyyah, and inshallah, let's try to do as much of this as we can. So for the week, fasting Mondays and Thursdays, and of course we attend Juma. When you go to Juma, don't go rushing at the last minute. Go in time, go early, pray two rakat tahiyatul masjid, sit and read some Quran, make dhikr, listen to the khutbah properly, pray the Juma salah, pray the sunnah after the salah, and then go home or go back to work. So have enough time to pray salah peacefully in whichever country that you live in. So that's very important as far as the weekly thing is concerned. And then we come to the annual, which is of course all the things that we do in Ramadan, in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, the fasting for the 9th and 10th of Muharram, and so on. So all of these fasting in Ramadan, Taraweeh, inshallah, don't fall into the trap of whether you should pray 8 rakat or 20 rakat. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, pray 2 by 2, and that is enough for us, inshallah. Pray as much as you can, but don't fall into fitna, because the fitna is worse than not praying. It's better for you to just sleep at home rather than to go into a masjid and create some trouble because of some misunderstanding with regard to the fiqh of the number of rakat in Taraweeh. Taraweeh is sunnah. Taraweeh, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do it. The Khulafa' Rashida used to do it. And therefore, don't fall into all these arguments and fitan. Pray, let us pray Taraweeh. The purpose of Taraweeh is to listen to as much Quran as we can. So let us do that. Let us pray. Let us ask for forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Ramadan. And don't ruin that Ramadan by falling into fitna, by falling into disputes. Make it a habit, inshallah. Let's make it a habit to make itikaf in the last 10 days of Ramadan. It's very, very easy. It's very easy. Anyone who tells me that he cannot organize his life by using the 355 days of the year in order to be able to take 10 days off in the last 10 days of Ramadan is telling me that the person has no clue how to live life. That's a very stupid way of living. So let's ensure that we take out those 10 days, last 10 days of Ramadan, and make itikaf. go to the masjid which is closest to your house, and that's because that's the sunnah. Pray, make i'tikaf in the masjid of your muhalla, unless of course we are able to go to the haramain, but otherwise make i'tikaf in the masjid that you normally pray in, the masjid which is close to your house, and spend the last 10 days in reflection, in recitation of the Quran, in dhikr, in ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in trying to reflect on your own life and say, what have I been doing and what changes do I need to make? This is the whole issue of being consistent in pursuit of our own development, because at the end of the day, remember that nobody is going to gain from this more than yourself. This is all about ourselves. This is all about a good way of being selfish, where you are looking at your own self, you are looking at how you can improve yourself, how you can get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how you can seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's something very important for us to do. So I would like to end with asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you and me to be consistent on this path which leads to His pleasure, inshallah. We ask Allah to make it easy for us, to be pleased with us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from shaitan, so that we don't fall into fitna, we don't leave things undone, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our tawbah and to forgive us our sins. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahimin.